And you know, dancehall has gone from you go to the club with your bridging and buy a six pack to, yeah, we have to buy a buckle, we have to get table, we have to chaser and girls. And so, yeah, yeah, overly confident, sure. Is it working? I don't know, I guess.
Working, I don't know, because like,
oh, it's working in some areas. But I don't believe those areas are end all be alls, you know? A lot of those areas, yeah, you'll see the flashiness and it looks very enticing, but it's a very small slice of the dance hall pie. Like,
it's a band-aid solution to their problem type thing. Like,
it might be. I don't know. I don't go there enough to know what's going on over there still. I just see and I
trust. If you guys don't know who we have with us today, on a wave, we have Redlinks, one of the top DJs in Toronto. If you don't know Redlinks, then you have not been outside at all, basically.
Yeah, you haven't been outside in 2 decades still. It's a damn shame.
Has it been 2 decades since you've been like...
Yeah, so I've been DJing like physically since I was about 13. But yeah, the first time I went outside was I was 15. So okay. Yeah, it's been about a decade and a half, roughly. About 18 years since I've been DJing outside. Yeah, this 2024 make 18 years. Yeah.
What are like the craziest things you crossed off your like bucket list type shit?
As a DJ, I feel like there was a lot of things that I had on my bucket list as a kid. Yeah. DJing for certain artists, I opened for a lot, so I don't want to go down the list. Flying out was definitely one of them.
Yeah, and just so people know, name some of the places you've gone, because
I'm outside. I go to Jamaica like 4 times a year in crazy. Most cases.
Crazy.
I went to New York last year. Funny enough, I want to go to Montreal because
you haven't been to Montreal yet?
I have been to Montreal when I used to MC for Snoopy.
Okay, okay.
But I haven't been to Montreal by myself, myself, in a very long time.
Okay.
Yeah, so I would like to play out there as a clash or as a juggling. So
Montreal, like...
Sound them rally up.
The promoters out there are very interesting, especially the Caribbean, because I lived in Montreal for a year. Mm. And even before I went out there... I remember I was booked on a gig. It was me and Managelis. So when we're there, I'm just talking to them and shit. And they're like, oh, this is our first time being booked in Montreal. And that was flabbergasting to me because I remember being in high school and Managelis was running the place. I still think they're running the place relatively. You know what I mean? So the fact that the Montreal promoters wouldn't bring them over there was kind of crazy to me.
I think... At the time when Managelis and even my time and like the early 2010s was a very different time to be running the place, because like everything was kind of transitioning. It was like transitioning into this real digital thing. So I feel like to be running the place in that time, we never got as much pull from other countries and stuff, because some countries or some cities were still digital. Some were still analog. Some were still looking around in the city. Some weren't on the internet yet. And it was just like... We were heavily on the internet, and I don't think enough people were on the internet at that time. But what I've also come to realize is back then we weren't traveling enough. Like, we weren't giving ourselves enough credit on the things we could possibly do. We knew that we had cars and we could drive downtown and do 2 bookings in one night. But I don't think none of us had the idea like, yo, let's just go to Montreal. Like, but I think we were all just waiting to be booked rather than to just go out there and just, but looking back on it, we should have just went out there, you know, and just, definitely.
Okay. All right. How long has it been? It's been about 8 minutes. Okay. No more nice shit. Do you think Toronto DJs are too bossy? You think they're feeling themselves too much? Because I feel like a lot of mans, like you said, they're waiting to be booked. They're not reaching out. They're not networking. They're not doing anything to put themselves out there. They want people to spend their hard-earned money to fly them out, get them lodgings type shit, feed them all this shit just for them to play a mediocre set. And like, you know what I mean?
Yes and no. But yes, because I feel like I feel like you have to spend money to make money. You got to spend the money to make the money. So you can't really be sitting around thinking like, okay, I'm never going to go to England until somebody calls me with a 9-digit code. And it's not going to happen. You gotta go out there, scope out the places, scope out the venues, scope out Wagwan. And then, you know, then you can come back and boast a little bit still, because I do it all the time. I'm not going to lie. But to say that, you know, you're just going to do it here and wait for somebody to see it over here, it's not going to happen. Especially in the days of the internet, like, go on live or something, bro. Like, there's so many things exactly. You could do right now that, like, you could be heard in other countries. So if you want to, you know, be bossy, just at least conquer your lane and give yourself something to be bossy about. Don't just be bossy for no damn reason.
It's crazy because I was in New York the other day, you know, DJing New York Fashion Week. And then while I was out there, I ended up getting two other bookings just through networking and being outside of my own city. These are people mm-hmm. who would have never heard of me if I wasn't there physically.
You have to be there. Fam, you know? I'll never forget this too. I was on Twitter one day. Mind you, sorry, Twitter, I'm talking about like I was 22 years old. Okay, this is a very long time. The dinosaurs were there and everything. Bro, I was on Twitter one day. And I seen this girl, and she had in her bio, she's from New York. And I'm like, yo, let me just holler at this shorty. I tried to holler at her. The girl left me on red. And the next thing she tweeted, I'll never forget this. And this works in business too. The girl tweeted and said, if you're going to holler, do it in person. I'm like, pussy clad. So you want me to fly out there? Jesus Christ. But I say all that to say, like, go to places where you need to go. Be in the rooms you need to be in, because nobody's looking for your number. They want to see your face. They want to see your face and see what you are actually made of for real in the flesh. Not, you know, so.
What do you think is the standard of DJing right now, especially in Toronto? If they say, like, Mount Rushmore. I feel like these are two different questions, though. So, okay, let's say, what is your standard of DJing? And then what is your, like, Mount Rushmore of, like, DJs from Toronto?
The standard right now is very low.
Oh, shit.
Standard is very low. I don't give a rat's ass. If you just became a DJ in the last 4 years, I'm so sorry. The standard is very low. It's very easy.
Why do you say the standard is very low? Do you mean, like, these DJs are shit?
I mean, when I started DJing and I needed DJ equipment,
yeah,
one turntable, and I'm not talking about a whole controller, one turntable, one deck, one yeah. side, one CD player
yeah,
was like 8-7 bills. So then, now you need two of those.
Oh,
that
shit.
Is 1400, 1600. Yeah. Now you need you got the two, but you need a mixer. You need yeah. something in between. That's another 5-6 bills.
Yeah, two bands.
All right, great. Now you need music and CDs and da 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 and da 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 da. Oh, wait, great. Now you got all the music. Now you need speakers.
Yep.
Bro, you done talk about $5,000.
Wait. You didn't even go to the venue yet. You don't have a way to get these things to the venue, so you need your car now.
You need a car. But the car is the basic. But now, to have a speaker, a mixer, two turntables, and a laptop is damn near
$1,500.
Anybody could be a DJ if you have $1,500 and some space and some of these yeah. so your parents don't get upset. That's all you need.
It's kind of fucked up because people be reaching out to me, oh, could you do my 5-hour event? And I'm like, sure, this is my rate. Sometimes I be giving them a discount. And they be like, oh, this is too much. I'm like, wait, for 5 hours of pure excellence.
Yes, because the $1,500 equipment DJs have lowballed the game and have made others now say, well, I know somebody who can do it for X amount of money less than you. So, and then when you check it out, you know, this is their mixer. This is their, you know, controller. This is their laptop cord. Actually, it kind of looks like this, kind of flimsy and... Come on,
I'm not gonna lie. A lot of these DJs, I'd be like, why are they on all these flyers? Why, like, what's going on? I'm seeing these soca flyers, these dancehall flyers and shit. I'm like, what's really going on here? When these promoters holler at me, they're not paying me my rate. So I know they're not paying you your rate, motherfucker. So I know these guys are taking a bill.
Absolutely.
A Guinness.
Absolutely.
A jerk, and I'm not talking about the chicken.
Absolutely.
One of them, broski.
Well, honestly, what I can say is there is a lot of DJs right now who are living in the realm of their true value, but have no real way of obtaining it because they want to be friends with people.
Oh, shit.
I know that sounds very harsh, but it's very true. People want to know that, hey, maybe if I charge him this, he'll continue to be my friend and book me next time.
Yo, that's very true.
That's what they want.
I'm not going to lie.
I don't want that. That is why you don't see red links everywhere. I don't care to have that. Very I would true. Rather somebody call me and I tell them my price and they're like, yo, I rate this guy, and they never call me again than to, you know, let me tell this guy $75 and a Heineken so he'll call me next year for his annual. No, thanks. I'm cool. I'm cool on that.
Nah, it's very true, because even Dr. J, the Soca Prince, incredible DJ. What he has done for the city, I can never, ever take that away from him. And you know, and he does give a lot of opportunities to young DJs, which I do commend him for. He even given me an opportunity. Then when I told him my price, well, it was through a middleman, pause. And like, he's like, oh, are you sure you want me to tell that to Dr. J? Because if he doesn't feel like you're worth it, he's never going to hire you again. And I'm like, well, I told you that because I felt like I'm worth it.
Right.
So then, yeah, they paid me and everything was blessed. I feel like I did a great job. As I'm DJing, the crowd singing out and shit. And you know how I am on the social media. So my promotion got at least 75,000 views, which I feel like is worth it alone. And then, oh no, brother can't let me back. I'm like, oh shit, maybe I'm just a shit DJ.
No. Sometimes, you know, I used to think like that too. Like, you know, where's the retention on the callbacks on some of the promoters? But what I've come to realize is sometimes you might be elevating faster than the stick around. Like sometimes there is no stick around because you've gone past it. It's over. It's done. You already did it. You know what I mean? It doesn't need to happen again. It's there. If you don't know about it, you'll hear about it. You'll see about it. Google it. So I don't, you know.
No, that is very true.
Yeah. I used to think like that. I used to be like, bro, like what the frick? I was the one who mashed up the place at their party and they didn't call me back. But then I've come to realize, you know, and maybe even some of them get scared. They're like, shoot, is this how much this guy really costs? Like, you know, yes, it is. No, yeah, you know what I mean? I'm standing on business. That's what they say. I'm standing on business. Because the minute you start to sway and you want to become friends, fuck them. No, we don't want no friends.
Because even me, I do my own events. And although I negotiate with DJs, I don't lowball DJs, pause. I don't do anything to diminish their value.
Right.
Even there's a shorty, I didn't even want to mention the shorty because like she blocked me and on some like bitch shit. But yo, when I put her on my event, this was for when Father Phyllis performed. Mm-hmm. Shit, people could probably even look at and probably figure out who it is, but I don't care. Father Phyllis performed, yo, I paid her the most out of any DJ on the event, broski. And she did the worst. And that is completely fine. But I feel like I understand what it's like to be a promoter and be a DJ. I feel like DJs don't understand what it's like to be a promoter. And promoters 100%. Don't understand what it's like to be a DJ.
100%. That's why I feel like for me, I kind of stay out of both realms. Like, I don't want to be a DJ. Well, I'm obviously a DJ, but like, and I don't want to be a promoter. Like, I feel like a lot of that has been tainted in a lot of everybody's memory or mind as a DJ. Like, okay, if I'm a DJ, I have to throw a party. And it's just like, I feel like there's just so many other things you can do. And it's just like, so, you know, the DJ promoter thing is like, yeah.
Are there any promoters you don't fuck with?
Because,
yo, promoters in Toronto are cheap as fuck.
Absolutely. But I will say, there isn't anybody I don't fuck with because I haven't done a lot of ass kissing. And I will be, I'll say like 90% of the promoter DJ relationships you see is sheer ass kissing. Like
very it's, true.
So I haven't done a lot of that to say, oh yeah, you know, I was whatever with this guy and then now we don't like, nah, because I don't ass kiss in the first place. If you fucks with me, you fucks with me. Like, exactly. One promoter I do fucks with heavy, and I know, you know, he has his rep or whatever the case, is Roach. And Yeah, Roach, the only reason why I give him that regard.
Is it Roach that guy?
Yes.
Okay.
And the only reason why I give him that regard is because he's somebody who's always turned to me and was surely honest with me, like a real brother, and was like, yo, honestly, Redlings, I didn't make nothing today, but yo, check me in 2 weeks and I'll have, and then I'll check him in 2 weeks and he'll have. Yeah. Or he'll be like, yo, honestly, really, I don't know if, and there's been times where I'd be like, yo, fam, just don't worry about it, because he's been such a stand-up guy to me.
I'm not gonna lie.
I don't know. I know he has his whatever with others. I don't know. But to me, he's been a stand-up guy. So I respect him on that regard.
Even on the promoter angle, when I hired Natty B, he was very understanding when I told him, like, yo, I didn't make as much as I anticipated, but then Broski was patient, and then I gave him his bread type shit, you know? And I feel like DJs, we respect that when you communicate. Mm-hmm. Like, the girl said I didn't really communicate with her, that's why she bought me, but I feel like I did a good job. It's just the man and woman thing.
Yeah, I feel like, yo, I love female DJs, I love y'all, but yo... Y'all gotta understand, this is a very emotionless corner of people. Like, and you know, it's gonna be rough for y'all. I'ma be honest. Female DJ. Back then, like when I started DJing, when the dinosaurs were here, yo, bro, the girl DJ, it was like a, oh my God. Wow. Now it's ever so often that it's like, it's not a wow thing anymore. And it's like, as a female DJ, you have to prove yourself. Yeah. And a lot of that proving, I feel like females have mixed their emotions into that wanting to prove. Yeah. And it's not serving a lot of female DJs well.
I feel like females need to accept the truth for what it is.
They do.
Shout out Tasha Roses. She is a legend.
She has cold blood, say, bro. She bro, a bad girl.
What I'm about to say does not apply to her or anybody like her, because Tasha Roses taught me how to DJ. She is foundation. But these new Instagram girls, these new TikTok girls, they DJ with the breasts out, the transitions are off, the remixes suck, but you're getting a lot of views. It's not because the what did Drake say? It sound good on mute. You know what I mean? Y'all are Sydney Sweeneys. We're looking at you. We're not hearing you. You know what I mean?
Yep. I think a lot of female DJs have tapped into sex sells, and it's a damn shame, because you know, we would like to see, like back in my time, it was like, yo, the female DJ, you actually had to try to be good. Like now I feel like female DJs are nowadays are just trying to like care. Like they're trying to like,
yeah.
Like, and we understand that you care, but you can't bring that care to the table. Cause when it comes to the table and business, we don't care how much you've been DJing from your basement.
The same girl that blocked me in Oshawa's Vex, she said, the mixer wasn't working properly when I was trying to use it. I'm just showing her, I just asked her, I'm like, wait, wasn't there like three other DJs with you when this was going on? You mean you guys couldn't like work together and figure this out? Like right now, I'm not the DJ, I'm the promoter. I'm running around, I'm making sure everyone's good, I'm checking the door. You know what I mean? When I hire DJs, I expect DJs to be DJs. You know what I mean?
Right, like that's what I'm saying. So, you know, to that young lady, she should have just focused on what could be done. Like, don't even, you're the one who's in control of these buttons.
Exactly.
So I would be terrified to know that somebody's flying a plane and they're asking somebody, oh my God, this is not working right now. What should I do? You're the pilot.
Literally.
You
should
have all the answers on when this button stops working, I'm going to do this. And if this stops working, I'm going
to
do that.
Passenger, sorry. The plane is not working. Can somebody come to the flight deck and help?
Does anybody know how to...
Huh. That's like Zara asking me to help him engineer the fucking pilot.
It's like, wait, can you turn on the camera?
Now, I will say that a lot of female DJs, they have tapped into the sex sells, and they do get gigs based on them being this like aesthetic DJ. You know what I'm saying? And it's nice to like look at like a pretty girl doing anything, cooking, DJing, talking, you know what I'm saying? But I feel like a lot of times, like, they're only getting booked for that reason, not necessarily because of their skill set.
If you are a promoter and this girl could guarantee a certain amount of people, how much do you care about the skill versus the pull?
I know what you mean. I definitely understand, because at the end of the day, you're, as a promoter, your goal is to make as much money as possible, maybe provide the best experience while doing that, but it's a financial money gain. You know what I'm saying? Like, so you're not necessarily like quality control or expecting a lot. And like you were saying earlier, DJing is so accessible now. Like a controller, most people can learn how to use a controller in like a couple of weeks. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and it doesn't help that there's a sync button. So that just makes it even easier for whoever wants to become a DJ. Every one of these controllers got a sync button on it. So if you want to mix Whitney Houston with Skilly Bang, press sync.
One button away.
That's all it takes.
Yo, what I was going to ask, because I'm a DJ as well. I do like weddings and stuff. And I noticed that, you know, I see like there's a lot of AI programs, the DJing, and they sync it, and you know the AI even mixes it. Do you feel like AI could be a threat to the future of disc jockeying, or do you feel like if it was, it would have happened already?
I feel like the idea of somebody being, people love their cameras, so if there's nothing to videotape, AI could never take over. They need to have something to film, and it can't be some robot, because we already got robots in the club and we got DJs in the club simultaneously. So they ain't about to take over if we've been here, you know, having a good time with each other. But if to say that AI is going to completely take over DJing, it's not going to happen. The people with cameras in their hand want to see somebody up there doing some crazy mix, jumping up and down, whatever the case is. They need to see a physical human being up there, even if they're not doing nothing, even if they're pressing sync. Somebody got to be up there. I'd be damned if I'm in the club and I like look up there and there's nobody.
There's just lights.
There's just lights and nobody. Holy.
That's a bad look, yeah.
All right, so I'm going to ask you, is there money in dancehall?
No, there is no money in dancehall.
Because when I look at my favorite DJs, especially like in the dancehall community, I'm like, these guys must be rich. You know what I mean? They've been DJing for so long. They're at the top of the game. You know what I mean? Like, they must have found the Pandora's box type shit.
I feel like there isn't one DJ that I know of, I could be wrong, in Toronto that successfully had a DJ career and reaped some real lifetime benefit from it. So to say that there's even money and there is nothing at the end.
When you say a nothing. DJ you know, do you mean you know personally or you know of? Because
I don't know anybody. I don't know any elderly DJs personally to say that know what they own, but I do know enough to say I don't see none of them like with no freaking. I don't see nobody with none. I don't see nobody with none. And it makes me concerned as a young DJ, and it makes me want to know, okay, so what is the end goal then if there is no retirement plan? There's nothing at the end of this.
It's interesting because they're going to say we're pocket watching. But when I look at my
idols... it's not pocket watching. It's just facts. Like nobody's
see your industry.
Furthermore, it's not even pocket watching. At this point, it's asset watching. Pocket watching, your pockets are full. Everybody's pockets are full. But bro, asset watching... Bro, there's no way an elderly DJ should be having the same amount of assets as somebody my age.
I feel like we should set the standard so the audience knows of like a tier we're talking about. So if I said somebody like Specs, Steenie, Blacks. Yes.
Black Reaction, not Blacks done the place. Black Reaction, Steenie.
You think Blacks is richer than these niggas?
No, I think Blacks done the place is... He's kind of a pull and pull between both generations. He's kind of in my generation and kind of in the elder generation. He's kind of right in the middle.
I see.
I don't know. And even Blacks himself, he probably doesn't know where he stands in the argument because he can see both sides. So.
I feel like that's where I am with your generation and Natty B's generation.
Yeah, Natty B's generation, like, though, they're far off from...
From us, but I still feel like I'm a little removed from y'all.
Nah, because your brain is still there from when you were with King Turbo and stuff. So you kind of know that stuff makes you know where our generation is coming from. Yeah. And you can just relate to Natty B because of peers and age. Exactly.
What about like the more corporate DJs like a Ricochet or like Peter Cash or like Charlie B?
That's a good point.
So you know, the corporate DJs make money. The problem
is... We're talking about dance hall.
The culture. Okay.
Yes. But there is, funny, a like dance hall corporate sector, but nobody is making the right moves to go in that direction. Nobody wants to like actually say, this is what I'm doing. Because they know once they say that, those in the underground dancehall world, whatever, the rest of the dancehall world is not going to fucks with them. Because realistically, in the dancehall corporate world, bro, you're going to be have to play like 5 Shaggy, 2 Sean Paul. That's it. The Wally rhythm, buyout rhythm, and you're done. Like, that's it. Like, and you're going to do that for about 5 days a week, and you're never going to play Skang, and that's what it is over there. And that's fine, because some people are doing that and making like a good amount of money. So,
I feel like that's where King Turbo was going. But then, like, the whole breakup happened, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, but even King Turbo, I feel like they probably would have stayed in the hardcore dancehall scene. But if they did know their worth back then and really stuck to it, yeah, they would have went corporate, like fully corporate. If they had to do.
Do you think they lived up to their expectations? Because I would say they are revered as Canada's number one sound. And my only thing is, if they are the number one, then what does that say about the rest of the landscape? Because they have a legendary career, but I don't think they have much to show for it.
I don't know, but I'm gonna speak from the younger generation's perspective, not my generation, because my generation is gonna answer this and be like, what do you mean King Turbo is the number one sound? So from like the younger generation's perspective, I'm gonna say something like, when my generation was coming up and we heard about Soul to Soul being like the number one sound in Toronto, like I have yet to not understand why, but to really feel that feeling. Okay. So for the Natty B's and the younger DJs who are coming up, like they don't give a rat's ass about King Turbo, bro. They don't care, bro. They don't care. They unfortunately don't care. But my generation does. So I'm not gonna diss them.
They
still
had 20 people in the live stream. What do you mean people don't care?
It's not 14. It's not 12 people. They got
it's going up.
Shit. Last time you said 22, I think. So.
I gave them. I gave them a little. But I just feel like it's kind of like what we were talking about earlier. Toronto gives themselves more credit than they deserve.
Yes.
If you look at the top.
And that's definitely hindered them like worldwide. Because we even like me now, like I'm I don't talk about this a lot because you guys see me in the juggling world heavy, heavy, heavy. But I'm a big time Clash fan. I follow Clash. Me and Natural talk about Clash off camera every time. Like,
I want to talk about Clash too. So we'll do that
soon
for the
get
last
there. But like, basically what I'm saying, even in the Clash world, it's very evident like the Canadian sounds are just not up to standard where the rest of the world is concerned. And it's super like, and I feel like that has kind of leaked into the juggling world, and it like makes us in our own bubble, and then we're kind of just all kind of fighting each other, and nobody really wants to like have any international status. Like,
being a dancehall DJ in Canada is embarrassing because man them are not holding the thing up proper, bro.
And nobody's like working together. I feel like everybody's kind of lost in their own world. Like, exactly. Everybody's kind of like, okay, well, this is working for me, so I'm gonna stay over here. And it's like,
I feel like
all of it collectively isn't working. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't want to count on them, but like, even people who are like having dancehall party and like they're keeping stripper party, it's like, stripper coming a dancehall? Like, this not worth it. Like, this is not it, bro. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, like, and I feel like that brought dancehall to an even lower standard, Bridget, of just like degeneracy.
Listen, let me say something. You see how Snoopy, I'm a Bridging still. Maria Snoopy, I'm a brother. But me can't bother with the times when him a book me and stripper dead there because I mash up me juggling. Yeah, I want to go into dancehall and juggle up some rhythm, man. You know, I'm drinking rum and Red Bull and go and party with the people there, man. Ray. But 2 minutes into that, I have to play.
Bands are maker dance.
What the new one named Ski? I have a Ski and Don't play with it. I don't want to play this. Bumbaclot.
Nah, bro. The stripper thing and the dancehall kind of fuck it up. Because now there's even trannies dropping the mix, AIDS dropping the mix. It's like,
I'm seeing Wagwan on the media, and I don't know the stories then. But in terms of that AIDS business, all I can do is just advise people go get checked out. That not safe. That not safe, Bridget. You can't walk around and be doing all of that. And you see that, and the stripper thing now, like, no disrespect to no stripper, because most of them I'm a Bridget still. But like, really and truly, I can't do that because like, it's just like I'm a DJ at heart, and it's like I feel like I'm just not DJing when y'all are there. Like the strippers them are there, and it's like y'all are there, but I'm just here.
It's a different experience for sure. It's not the same. It's not a party anymore,
bro.
When did that start happening? Did that start happening during the pandemic and definitely the underground parties? Yeah, because that's when I started hearing about these like low key after hour hotel room stripper parties.
It actually started
live stream, right?
Live stream. Yeah. So somebody, I don't remember who, but somebody was going live stream.
Wasn't it Snoopy with Club COVID? Or was it before that?
But prior to that, like even in the beginning of COVID, there was somebody going live on Instagram and they would call themselves Demon Time. Like that's where the phrase came from. It was somebody going live called Demon Time, and then he'd have girls join the live and do whatever, X, Y, Z, blah, 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 blah. So I wouldn't say Snoopy copied that idea, but Snoopy did kind of extends that in a Toronto sense, where it's like, yeah, he brought Club COVID, the strippers then were on the live dancing, blah 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 blah, and a lot of strippers made a semi ghetto superstar name for themselves off of that. So again, me not this no stripper, me not this no dancer or whatever, but
niggas be fucking the strippers, as a
they probably do, but I know me for one, if you have a dance and you book Red Links and stripper is going to be there, just take me off of the party. Come in and show up. I'm not showing up.
I could confirm Links do be fucking the strippers. I've DJed some stripper parties.
I'm like, isn't that the point?
They probably are fucking the strippers, but me, I don't know. I mean,
how do you feel about paying for a Pum Pum?
You
know, Fire Links says, it could be $3 Pum Pum.
$5 pussy. Grand pussy.
All a free pussy.
I wouldn't, like, I'm the type of person, anything can happen tomorrow. So if I was ever caught in a position where I had $100 left and my belly was full and I had no roof over my head and I just needed some pum pum, I'm gonna buy that pum pum still. I'm not the blood clot lie to you. No, as a man, you're mad.
Yeah.
But, true, like, as you were saying the other time on your podcast, like, if you have money, you know, you don't really have to buy pussy. Like, really and truly. If the gal them can't see, say, you know, you have your things together.
Exactly.
The gal them will just come for you. Especially in this economy. All you have to have is, like, a freaking studio apartment and the girls them will love you.
Really. I feel like it's all about circumstance. Like, for me, when I was in Barbados one time, I was just there for, like, a week trip. You know what I mean? So, like, my mindset wasn't on no... oh, I want to take a girl out on a date and I want to get to know her and I really want to, you know what I mean? It was more so like we went to the strip club type shit and we're turning up and then a shotty, like one thing led to another, you know what I mean? And you just get the wazzles type shit, you know?
Yeah.
But like,
yeah,
in Toronto, I wouldn't be like, oh, like I want to have sex with somebody so I need to go to Backpage type shit, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
There's
a
plethora of women. Like, I feel like it's too easy to get girl.
It is too easy. And unfortunately, like, a lot of mans are stuck in the social media, so they don't really know that it's so easy right now to get a girl's attention. Like, it really
the
is.
The incel thing is going mad, though, still.
Oh, I feel sorry for them. I'm not even vexed about them. Any nigga who's not getting pussy right now, that is your fault, bro. That is your fault. Right now, it's way too easy.
Do you think DJs are loyal?
DJs are never loyal. I don't know who lied. I don't care.
Hold on, broski. Never.
Never.
I'm a DJ. I am loyal.
I am a DJ too.
You are not loyal?
I have a girlfriend and I am not loyal.
That is crazy.
Yes, I am not. Because you know why? No matter what, as a DJ, you're going to travel. You're going to go to all these places and you're going to see something different every single time. Your eyes will never be locked. Unless your eyes were locked before you came a DJ, great. After that, you're doomed. You're doomed. You will always succumb to the lust. You will forever. You're doomed. You will never ever go. All right, unless you get a girl who's about the threesome life, then you're locked in. But other than that, bro.
I'm talking to a girl right now, and eventually I want to take it to that next step with her. But fuck, you're saying
stop right there. The man said, but fuck, man. You already know. No DJ is loyal. Never. You will never see a DJ say, this is the one, fam. They might say, I really want to take it to the next level. But fuck, man. Just wait for the but fuck, man. Pause for the but. But you get me? Like, just wait for the man to just be like, I don't know. This shorty, she's guanin, she's cooking and shit. And yo.
Have but you I ever DJed a party and like had a one night stand? Like, you seen a girl on the dance floor, fuck her?
Yes.
Have you ever fucked her in the club?
Nah. There was this club though back in the day called, I forgot what it's called. I think it was called City Nightclub. Yeah. Something like that.
Oh, and shit. Yeah.
They had like washrooms, like separate doors to each.
Yeah.
If you wanted to fuck in that club, you could have fucked in that club. And I'm so sad that I did not fuck in that club.
I remember one time, this is when I was just starting to get popping on TikTok type shit. So I was booked to DJ a downtown party, you know. Okay, where are we at? Okay, I want to do like 5 minutes. So we have to run through some quick things. So, okay, DJing this party. I'm with my girl. I show the party. And then she ends up like, I guess her seeing me show the party, she just loved it. She brought me to the washroom. I shelled the dog. It was like one of the best because like the lust, the excitement, everything was wicked.
Yeah.
It was different.
Because you feel like you earned it after a performance. Yep. And like, you know, you feel like you really, the adrenaline is crazy.
Yep.
There was even one time where like I was just shelling a party. There was this girl. She was standing right in front of the DJ booth, just like staring at me intently. So I knew like as soon as my set was done, I knew Wagwan. I just went right to her. We went right to the washroom. And like, put on the boots. You always gotta put on the boots, and then you just do your thing. But like, I feel like a lot of niggas these days are not putting on boots.
Yeah. Oh, definitely not. I think for me, I did a lot of that in like the early part of my career, like But nowadays, I be running from them.
No,
Girls be in this crowd, like, I'll be like, fuck, how am I gonna run now? She's like. Yo, I be running.
Right now, you're not even trying to be with the mix-up. You're
no, I know I just said I'm not faithful, but I'm still running from the girls. Them. Like, there's only a one, like, there might have to be a one gal who's just like, fuck, man, okay, all right. But nah, bro, like, I be running. There's this one, I'll never forget this, bro. I think I was DJing, like, Halloween, and I was DJing in St. Catharines, and there's just one, I was DJing on the stage and shit, and then, no, not Trims. Trims wasn't there mixing for me. I think it was D-Boy. Somebody was mixing for me. Yeah. And I was out on the stage, like, MCing, doing whatever, blah, 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 blah. And this girl's just like, Red legs. I kept pulling up her hand, and I kept touching her hand, and then she kept pulling up her hand. Yeah. And I was just like, damn. Like.
Tempting.
No, not tempting, because now I feel like the longer this happens, like, the uglier they get.
Oh, okay,
I don't know.
So you're just like, ugh.
Yeah, like, this was me at, like, 24, I probably would have fucked her right there, but, like.
Have you ever fucked any ugly girls?
I fucked a plethora of ugly girls.
You have to, bro. That's part of the process.
No, man. Listen. When you're, and you ain't got nothing.
I've never ugly girl before in my life.
Yeah, okay. That's just wait until you know
why?
Wait until nobody's answering.
Listen.
Wait until nobody's answering, bro.
Because
one girl is just texting you like, did you have a good night? And you're just like, fuck this bitch, man.
But
you're gonna
I
text her back
with,
anyway. Just wait.
Girl I slept with has not been ugly because beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
I'm playing. Fuck that shit. That's how I know he probably fucked a whole bunch of ugly girls.
A whole of them is ugly. I slayed a few dragons.
Yo,
I slayed a few. Bro, one time the universe tried to save me from slaying a dragon, bro. Because, like, I was horny one night, dog. And this girl, she was on my dick crazy. So I just linked her. And then, like, we're like, okay, we're going to smoke, blah, blah, blah. We're in the whip smoking. And then I'm like, I just start getting her there, you know? Like, bring up the conversation, da da da. She's getting heated and shit, but she's like, oh fuck, I'm on my reds. I'm like, bless. So I just made her give me a wazzles. So the universe is like, okay, I'm gonna let you get the dome and you're not gonna have to hit it, bro. Take this and run. Obviously, I got Hania next time. No one was around, so I linked it. She wasn't out of resistance, so I couldn't just get the dome.
Listen, man, I don't remember where I saw this, but I saw a Kevin Samuels interview, and the man was like, listen, men really want to hit the 10s and 9s and 7s and 8s, but we'll fuck a 4 and 5 when nobody looking.
Yep.
When the door is closed and the lights is off and the party is over and the promoter is paid, and you'll never know.
I feel like I wouldn't do it now because where I'm at now, like, I'm a brand to upkeep type shit, you know? Like,
yeah, but again, like, 4s and 5s, they're so low on the scale, they'll do anything to. So if you say, hey, mama, keep this on the hush, her little 4 ass gonna keep it on the hush because she know her 4 ass never gonna get a natural again.
Yeah.
They'll treat you better. Like, ugly girls definitely treat you better.
When 100%.
You smash these baddies, bro, it's bare attitude, bare stress after. An ugly girl will hold it down, order the Uber Eats without you asking.
I don't want no baddies, though. I don't want no baddies. I want, like, the in between. Like, a 7 or an 8 is perfect for me, bro. These baddies be getting shit on, literally pissed on.
Honestly, no baddie is really a baddie for family. Like, when you see them in the club, like, they look like a baddie. But when you're, like, when you wake up beside them and you see them for real and you're just like, oh, wow, like, you're cross-eyed. Like, whoa. Yeah. Like, or they take off their makeup and you're like, holy, your acne is crazy.
Nah, or sometimes you go to the crib and you're like, damn, you live off Doritos? Like,
bro, I will never forget this, bro. I took a shorty back to her crib and I went to go sleep at her crib, whatever, blah, 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 blah. And I walked in her room. She had a table just like this with like a mirror. I'll never forget this, bro. She had like a fucking just chicken wing, a lone chicken wing just there
on the dresser.
On the dresser.
What the that is weird.
Why do you have a lone chicken wing on the
some girls be dirty, messy. One time this girl, like, her cat litter was just overfilling and shit. Like, she was sexy though. So like, I still be, but I remember just like, I remember being in the bed and like her clothes was just everywhere, fam.
Yeah,
like,
I can't.
Everywhere.
I can't deal with that.
Yo, smashing shorties with pets is kind of weird because some of them, like, they don't even, like, they leave the pets just roaming around.
Yeah.
I'm like, dog, like, put your pet in the room.
The cat is rubbing up on me while I'm in the cat. I'm like, what is going on right
fam,
now?
Fam, I would, listen, the girl I'm talking to right now, I don't even mean to air her out. Sorry, baby. But yo, this girl treats her cat like it's freaking like animal endangerment. When it's time for me and her to fuck, bro, it's just like, yo, she's locking the cat out the room.
Okay, that's good. So, that's good.
That's good. The cat will be purring and shit. Yo. She's like, shut the fuck up.
Bro, like, once I'm be beating the shotty and I'm like, yo, what the fuck is this on my leg?
No. She don't play that. She locked out the cat. Bro.
Nah, the worst. One time I was smashing a shorty with a cat, but it was like she didn't lock the cat up.
Yeah.
So at one point, like, I know the cat's just staring at her.
Yeah, it's weird. It's
like,
weird.
What is the cat thinking right now? Like, because I'm like banging the mom. And, like,
last thing we'll discuss, Nature Boy. You guys probably don't know who the fuck this is. Is it?
Nah, you're good.
Okay. Basically, in the spiritual community. He's been bun out from long time, but he was like, he used to do gay porn type shit. And then like he went to jail, then he was saved. He tried to be one of those spiritual type niggas, right? So he was running a cult. And then if anything cuts, just let me know.
Nah, it's just the laptop. You good.
Okay. So he's running a cult, right? And in this cult, he's like making the women abuse each other. He's abusing the man them type shit. But like even weirder than that, like he breeds the girl, like he's manipulating them. He breeds like multiple of the girls in because he wanted his youth them to crossbreed with each other type shit. And then also he would say things like, oh, I have sex in front of my children. I do all like I walk naked in front of my children type shit. And like, I don't have kids, but I thought that was weird as fuck. You know what I mean? So like
100%.
He recently that's got arrested. Up. He's in jail for the rest of his life for the cult shit.
Good. The fuck.
But when I was watching this documentary, I'm like, oh, what the fuck Hagwan in the spiritual community?
Me not trust that. That's fucked up. That is fucked up. I don't fuck with none of that shit. No, fuck.
Bro, I don't know. When he was just saying like that animals and the sex shit, yeah, this brought me back to
I was just like, yo, that is creepy. Yeah, nah, I can't deal.
Have you ever dealt with any spiritual shorties like the incense and the sage and the shit?
I did, you know, and I'm not even gonna lie. There's a time I actually like was dealing with a shorty like that, and I like super fell in the trap.
Yeah, no, me too.
Like I was getting high with this bitch all the time, taking Molly and shit.
Yeah,
like
super, bro. Super woke.
Super falling for the shits. Like I'm not even gonna lie. Some of the shits was like very healing to me that I needed to know personally. Yeah, but exactly. When I the grand scheme of things, I was just like, bitch, we just high. We need to chill fuck on these mollies and relax. Like I don't like this.
Yo, I used to be super into like the spirituality type shit, but like seeing how the community has like delved, it's kind of crazy, bro.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't be fucking too much with that shit. Like all that those girls who be like, y'all just scare the fuck out of me, bro. And I already, like I said, I already had a girl like that and I fell for the shits. And, you know, when looking back, it's just like, I feel like girls who are like that are probably just low-key super narcissistic. Like, they just want shit their own way and they just believe that they can, like, they literally, like, believe. Like, like, bro, you guys are scary, bro.
Yeah, chill. Their affirmations, talking about how they're, like, the queen of the world and stuff.
Yeah, oh my God, bro. Like, and it's so funny because I actually had this next shorty who was like, sorry to keep going, but, like, I had this next shorty who was like that and she got mad because I actually have to tell this story because this bitch was so dumb, bro. She got mad. So I ain't gonna lie. Like me, like I do whatever the fucks I want. See? Yeah. So I went to go check.
I got that vibe.
Yeah, like, yeah, 100%. So I went to go check this shorty, chilled out of the crib, ended up falling asleep. I didn't have sex with her or nothing. Whatever. Woke up the next morning, her kids was there. I said hi to the kids. I went to work, went about my day, blase. A couple weekends, I went to go DJ. Went out to go DJ. I was posting up snaps with beer gal, as I always do. This girl gonna say to me, oh, the next time you go out, make sure you're not slapping girls' asses. And I'm just like, first of all, who the fuck is you?
Yo, yeah, that like, is insane.
Who the fuck is you?
Don't tell me what to do.
Yeah, and it's like, she was one of them, like, affirmations, wake up in the morning, self-health, heal, self-care shit. Like,
so it's like, if you have all this knowledge, why are you so stupid?
Why are you that dumb to ever try to tell me what to do when I don't know you like that? And the joke is, like, what makes it even more, like, odd is because she knew I wasn't interested in her. There was something about her. I'm not going to say what it is because I don't want to get canceled, but there was something about her. And I told her, I'm like, because you are this, I can't fucks with you like that because I don't really like fucks with, like, I'm not attracted to that. No offense. You know, some men are.
You're like fat girl.
Yeah. No, it was not a fat girl.
Like
she was
white
actually.
Women. No,
Nah, actually, I ain't got nothing against white women, but the type of white woman she was is funny because I seen a TikTok like this. It's like, yo, there's a certain type of white woman I could deal with, but like the hardcore Taylor Swift, like, woo, like your dad owns a boat on the up on the Northern Ontario type I can't fuck with that type of white, but like
the pumpkin spice latte type shit.
Yeah, like, it starts with a mick.
Yeah, like some of it is too, you know, but unfortunately
if
for that
house
young
has
lady,
three
you know,
stories and shit. Like,
no, there's some three stories, even minorities is all right. But like, yeah, unfortunately for this girl, like she was one of those like Taylor Swift's and she was trying really hard to be like a I like Biggie type of white and it wasn't working for her and I was kind of letting her know this
because I need someone I could like relate to,
right?
You know what I mean?
And unfortunately, like, and even for her, like, you know, she got two kids by a black man and it's like,
oh, shit.
I still feel like you know, there's just a percentage of white women who are with black men who struggle with understanding it. Yeah. I feel like a majority of white women who date black men get it. Like, they're like, oh, okay, I get what it means to be black. I know they'll never fully understand because their skin's not black, but they get what we go through enough to be with a black man. But there's some that just don't get it and they're trying so hard to get it, maybe even too hard. And that's what unfortunately happened to my interaction with this young lady. It was just like, you're very much trying too hard. Like, just be a Taylor Swift. There's nothing wrong with being a Taylor Swift. Like, you know, there's nothing wrong. But, like, you know, as a black man, most of us ain't gonna
go for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, one more thing I want to ask you. It links you to book you for a party. Are you accepting the booking?
Respectfully, who...
Oh, you don't know. It's a promoter.
I feel like I know, but I feel like I know, but I don't know.
Okay. Any beef for any promoters, but if I did, it would be that nigga still.
Yeah, yeah. Again,
he
like,
does have, yo, he pays the worst. Any DJ will look out for that nigga still. That's like the only advice I have for young DJs.
Yeah, definitely. But you know, if there's any advice I have for young DJs, like, yo, bro, always know your price because you'll never have like a situation where, you know, unfortunately these, like, they don't pay and shit and then they come across you because I feel like the reason why I don't know them is because of that. They know they can't call my number and, you know, it ain't gonna happen. So always stand firm on that. I know you guys don't see red links everywhere and it's because I stand on who I am and what I believe in. And I'm not going to be friends with everybody. Fuck that friendship. You guys do too much friendship, bro. I don't like you guys in this want to be friends with promoters and shit. You guys are
Let
weird.
Me be a prime example of you do not, like Drake said, no friends in this industry.
There's shout no out, friends, bro.
Shout out Redlings. I've known him for maybe a decade now.
Probably more. You know what I mean? About 10 years, shit.
So this is not industry shit. Demdog, I would consider him a friend as well. Because like that high school.
Yeah, no. You and Demdog are like the dynamic duo, bro.
But like most niggas in this industry, like they'll be like, oh, like Natural, why are you always like going off? Why do you say what you want to say? But it's because like. These niggas are putting no money in my pocket.
Nah, you're honestly,
so I don't,
bro,
give a fuck.
You got us. Like I was telling you off camera, there's so much shit that needs to be said and people are afraid to say it because they're so focused on being friends. Why do you want to be friends with everybody, man? Like, I just can't do it. And that's why I haven't said a lot of things because I know it's going to hurt y'all feelings. And a lot of y'all think we're friends because I walk in the club and I might hail you and be like, oh, I'll go out. But we're not friends. We don't go out to Thanksgiving dinner with each other's dukes and shit. Like, it's not that deep. So I don't really care.
Yo, Redlings kept it really tame with you guys, though.
You're lucky.
He kept it.
No, but I'm coming back.
Okay.
It's just I didn't get to dust you guys the real way, but it's all right.
All right. Let them know where we can find you.
You already know, Redlings on all platforms, Redlings International. You can find me everywhere, TikTok, Instagram. You know what time it is. And that's it. I ain't got nothing. I'm not one of those guys like, look out for. I ain't working on shit right now. When I drop, the world will shake. It's that easy.
Jeez. Zara, let me know where they can find you.
At DJ Zara TV, at 25th Hour Studios, at Burrow Sound. Catch me on We Love Hip Hop. Saturdays, we film. Right next door, shout out B3 and shout out DJ Natural. You know what I'm saying? This podcast that he's starting on a wave, it's gonna shake up the city for real, for real.
Thank you very much. You can find me at DJNatural.wave, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, everywhere. This is On a Wave. This was our first, like, could we call it a sober podcast? Because we smoked.
Yeah. It was sober. That's why y'all didn't get the rap. Y'all are lucky.
We kept it tame, even though I did name drop a lot of niggas.
I got more names to drop, but I was all over the place in my brain thinking about a lot of shit. So I was just like, you know, I ain't gonna beat them up too much. But yeah, exactly. I will say, you know, as a final note, like a lot of DJs right now in the city are very much lost. I feel like everybody's going after this one goal that really means nothing. Because really and truly, like, as for the dancehall DJs, like, when you get up there and you feel like, oh, my God, I'm DJing on Sands now. And then you get paid $3 and you go home and you're going to be like, that's it? Yeah, that is it. That is what they value you as. So don't wait for somebody to come value you. Because if you continue like that, you'll never know your own. So Sands can't call me unless they got 13. That's right.
A lie. You can't let these brands who are making thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, almost millions.
Yeah, they just name off your name, bro. You got to be smart, bro. You got to be smart. You're better off just doing your own shit.
Facts. This is On A Wave Podcast. We'll catch y'all next time.